Sheikh Ahmad Abdul Rashid said that at a time when extremism is rising, and at a time when Islam is misrepresented, at a time when the voice of the mainstream majority Muslims is shut, there came to America a voice which tries to revive the mainstream teachings of Islam. For more than 1200 years, after the first 200 years of the formative time of Islam, when the schools of legal law and the schools of Sufi tariqas were formed, Islam remained on the course of a religion which was based on both the outer and the inner teachings of Islam. Sharia and tariqa, they both went hand in hand and is still going in the majority of the Muslim world. But when we see in America, we see a different picture, that those people who have all this background of mainstream Islam, somehow their voice is shut, and that they do not represent now the mainstream Islam in this country. But in fact, they are the majority, but they have no voice. And one of the very early persons to raise a voice in their support is our Mawlana Sheikh Hisham Kabbani. And I know him from 1994, when he first started calling people to observe the Maulidun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the main event of showing our love and concerns to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout these centuries of the history in the Islamic world, and also a way to get close to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and through him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, we share the vision with him, because in our organization ISRA believes that our deen is composed of not just two dimensions. It's composed of both Islam, Iman and Ihsan, and the science of Ihsan is tasawwuf. And Mawlana has tried to promote both the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this country, and we are very fortunate and we are very honored that as an organization that, you know, he accepted our invitation and came to share his ideas with us. I don't want to take time, because I'm sure that you are all are waiting to hear from him, and as I said, that this introduction is not enough and it does not cover even a very small portion of what he has done. But I will leave it at my original remark, that he is an institution in himself, and then invite Mawlana Sheikh Hisham Kabbani to come and address us on the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give him a big takbir.
Allahu Akbar!
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar!
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar!
I'm short, not like Dr. Abdul Rashid is tall, so I can carry the microphone with my hand. I don't deserve this introduction. And first of all, I'd like to say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil mursaleen, sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he brought us together today here, and it is my honor to be with Sheikh Abdul Rashid, Sheikh Nuruddin Durki, Sheikh the others, and especially those who are arranging this conference, brothers Dr. Zain al-Abidin, and the other guests. And I am very honored, and I would like to say something that see, I am blind. I would like to say that if I have said something that made some people upset, I apologize. But I thought that it was my duty to say something before it happened. And the way I am an Arab speaker, I'm not an English speaker, so might be it gave a different meaning, which I'm sorry for it. I'm not like Dr. Abdul Rashid. He was speaking like Shakespeare. I was trying to listen very well to understand what he was saying, but alhamdulillah his words were coming through the heart. Why Earth is the planet that has this nature? Why not Mars? Why not Venus? Why not the Sun? Why not the Moon? Why is Earth? For what reason? Everything around us, they say, there is no creation. There is nothing. It's a vacuum. And they are all planets empty. Why Earth? That is what makes ulama and awliya think about. Is it because Allah wants us to live here and He created these trees and these rivers and these oceans? Or is there a wisdom that might have occurred? Awliya Allah, may Allah bless them, they have some kind of a wavelength they can detect. They are wavelengths. Like this room, we have a lot of wavelengths here. Magnetic field, electromagnetic field, all kind of waves that can, you cannot see them, but these machines can detect them. As Dr. Abdul Rashid mentioned the hadith, مَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أَحِبَّهُ فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرُهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ وَيَدِهُ الَّذِي يَبْطُشُ بِهِ وَرِجْلُهُ الَّذِي يَمْشِي بِهِ. As long as my servant approaches me through voluntary worshipness, I will love him. If I love him, I will be his ears that he can hear with. I will be his eyes that he can see with. I will be his hand that he can strike with. I will be his feet that he can walk with. Means those, there are such people that can hear this without that machine. Because Allah gave them the hearing. Not only the hearing, but He gave them also the vision. Not only the vision, He gave them the senses through their hands. Not only that, He gave them their footsteps that they can see the light of Prophet and they follow. Not only that, because the continuation of the hadith in many narrations, it continued to say, حتى يكون ربانيا يقول للشيء كن فيكون.
الله أكبر.
He will, after he said ويده الذي يبطش بها ورجله الذي يمشي بها حتى يكون ربانيا, until he become heavenly, will be dressed with heavenly power, godly powers. يقول للشيء كن, he say to anything be, and it will be. So where are those people today? They are on Mars or Venus? So why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that beautiful land Is it because of our amal so successfully, mashallah, we are doing something good? Or because of such persons whom Allah has sent? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his hadith said, when he was asked what Allah created first, he said, He created first my light. When he was asked by Jabir, he said, He created my light. And then they cut the hadith. But there are many other narrations of the hadith. It has a continuation which has been authenticized by many ulama, that it says in the continuation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took that light, that he took a handful of light, he took that light, he dumped it in Bahrul Qudra, in the ocean of power. And my light was turning in that ocean. As it's turning in his power, and you know, when we say power, Qudra is energy. And energy can be this. It's wavelength. Energy is anything that create from fire to electromagnetic field to fields that give different kind of scientific technical issues that we are dealing with it today. When you have an engine of a car and it's turning, it generates electricity. When you have a turbine in a waterfall, it generates electricity. That overwhelming power of Prophet ﷺ turning in high speed in that ocean of power was generating what Allah wants to be generated from creation. That the continuation of the hadith says, from that light Allah created the creation. So that's why, if you say millions of times La ilaha illallah without saying Muhammadur Rasulullah, you cannot enter paradise. You cannot be considered. You are coming from the door. Allah said in Holy Quran, وَأْتُ الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا. Come to the homes or houses from its doors. You cannot jump from the windows, cannot come from the roof. And the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Muhammadur Rasulullah. So that light Allah has put in the forehead of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And that's why he ordered angels to bow for him, to make sajda for Adam. They are bowing for that light that has been dumped in the ocean of Qudra. When Adam was sent on earth, you think earth was with all this vegetation that it has and nature that it has? If Adam will being landed on Mars, Mars will be like Earth. If Adam would have landed on Venus, Venus going to be like Earth. Why? First of all, when you go grafting a tree, you have a wild tree, what you do? You go grafting it. You bring a fruitful tree, a branch, and you put with the wild tree. And then that wild tree become giving fruits. Adam alayhi salam had two properties, characteristics that he was carrying with him. He was carrying the lot of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his front hand, and he was standing on paradise when he was there living in paradise, and paradise is eternal life there. So that purity of paradise
that fruitfulness of paradise, that energy that was in paradise, that paradise itself, when he was landing, it was still on his feet. He was still touching paradise. When he landed on earth, it was grafting to earth completely, immediately. And that earth changed completely. From the light of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
Allahu Akbar,
and from the feet of Sayyidina Adam, from his touching to paradise. That's why when they say that Sayyidina Adam landed in Ceylon, Sri Lanka. There is a big mountain in Sri Lanka. You visited? They say Adam Peak. Its whole mountain is precious stones. The whole mountain, wherever you hit with a hammer, one precious stone comes out. They say it's from Sayyidina Adam's first landing on earth. What Allah gave to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We are in Isra and Mi'raj. No one can describe. It's impossible, it's beyond description. What Dr. Abdul Rashid was saying, and I get some inspiration from that. He was speaking about the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, Allah is describing his essence through his beautiful names, the 99 names. He described, he has Allah, that you understand that essence is being described through 99 names. The name of that essence, as we say in Arabic, Ismullah al-Ismul Jami' lil-Asma'i wa-Sifat. The name Allah is the name encompassing the attributes and the beautiful names. Means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a name that the attributes and beautiful names are describing the meaning of Allah. Still the meaning of the essence no one knows. That's why he said, Ya Muhammad, say, Kul huwa. Complete unknown. Allah, from that unknown, I am giving you only that name that all the attributes and the beautiful name can describe, but no one can go to back to my who. That's why that some Sufis, they do their zikr by who also. Allah called his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Isra and Mi'raj. When Allah sent Jibreel alayhi salam to invite Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Isra al-Mi'raj, Sayyidina Jibreel, Allah sent him to a paradise in paradise. It says that according to many Arabic classical books, that today people are not anymore interested in these books, because only they are interested in socialism, communism, Wahhabism, I don't know what, I don't want to go to that subject. So this classical traditional Islamic book are not anymore on the shelves of bookstores. Then you might find them might be in universities and libraries. So many of these recorded that when Prophet ﷺ was called for Isra and Mi'raj, Sayyidina Jibreel went to a paradise in paradise. And there was 70,000 Burak. All of them praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Non-stopping, day and night. There is no time there. And he found one Burak lonely by himself at one corner crying. He came to him and he said, Jibreel said, he was going to choose one Burak. He wants to see why this one is crying. And he said, why you are crying? All of them are praising here and there. They are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Ya Jibreel, when Allah created us, He said that these 70,000 Burak, one of them is going to be the one that bringing my Prophet into the night of ascension. And from that time, where there was no time, when Allah wanted us to appear, I was yearning and longing for Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why I was not able to say except crying, that Ya Rabbi, make me that one.
Allah.
And Jibreel said, you are that one. Look how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave respect. Allah will give respect or will not give respect. He is Allah. But how much gave respect to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
Ya Rasulullah.
Ya Rasulullah. The respect that gave, if we want to analyze it a little bit, we see that he said, me and my angels are praising him. That's enough. I'm not caring you praise or you don't praise. It's not necessary. I'm not caring for anyone to praise my Prophet. I'm alone praising him. He said, "Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi." I am and my angels, I ordered them. I gave you a choice. You want to praise, imitate me. You don't want to praise. As American they say, go to hell. Literally. So Wahhabis don't want to say, let them go to there. I don't know where is there. So I'm learning from Sheikh Abu Rashid. So he said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respected his Prophet, sent the Burak. He created 70,000 Burak to pick one Burak, to select, Ya Jibreel, select the best one between them. Gave him a selection. The Burak came and Allah inviting Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we are not going to go into that story of the Burak and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because time is limited. Jibreel said, Allah calling you. And Allah said, Subhanalladhi asra. Every word here is picked up. He said, Subhan means glory, means something that imaginable, you cannot imagine. The first chapter of Holy Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha, it begins with Alhamdu, means praise be to Allah. In Surah Al-Isra, it begins glory to Allah. Subhana, what you translate Subhana in English? Glory. Yani this is something beyond the mind of human beings. And that surah is called also Surah Banu Israel. It's not only Surah Al-Isra. It relates, Allah wants to show Bani Israel that Isra and Mi'raj is a way for Muslims to Masjid Al-Aqsa. That's why it is called also Banu Israel. He said, praise be to Allah. He said, Subhan, glory to Allah. Alladhi, He, not Jibreel, Asra. Asra in Arabic, you can say Sarah, Sarat Taifu. Sarat Taifu means Taif is light, like light. When the light moves, we say in Arabic Sara. When the river moves, we say Jara. Means anything you move on earth, earthly moving is Jara. Anything, what you say, in space moving is Sara. So he is indicating here that I moved him in space. I gave him a shuttle. I gave him a plane. I have planes before your planes. I have rockets before your rockets. I have shuttle, space shuttle before your space shuttle. I took him from Mecca, from Masjid al-Haram, Subhanallah الذي أسرى بعبده. If Prophet ﷺ didn't reach Maqam al-Ubudiyah, he would not be able to move in space. It will burn him space. Maqam al-Ubudiyah means the level of annihilation in Allah's love, in Allah's divine presence. There is no mean any of his self existing. What is existing to him is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he called him Abd. Not everyone is Abd. We are trying to be Abd, but we are not Abd. Abd means the one that declared the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are declaring it qawlan, not fi'lan. Means by tongue, but not by action. The only one he did it by action is Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said it in Allah's presence. There is no one except Allah, maqam al-tawheed, the level of tawheed. He said, bi'abdihi laylan. He said, laylan. Why he didn't say naharan? Why he didn't say, he said in the night. He didn't say during the day. Can be during the day. Why during the night? To tell us that I am moving my servant, beloved servant, from darkness to light. Because layl means dark. It's completely dim. There is nothing you can see. I'm moving him from that earthly darkness to the heavenly light. That's why he said laylan. Min al-masjid al-haram, from the mosque that you cannot commit a sin, means from the self, from the heart that is clean from sins, I am pulling my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam out from any mistake or any sin. I am protecting him from doing haram. And that's why he called it masjid al-haram, where there is no sin. When he is taking you, when you have no more sins on you, you become like Sayyidina Jalal al-Din al-Rumi, rising up when he was whirling. He used to rise up when he was whirling, because there is no more gravity pulling him down to earth. The gravity, the heavenly gravity now is pulling his spirit. His body become like a taif, like an imaginary form, like this. You see this drop of water on my finger? Can see it? When it is out of the ocean, you can see it. When it goes in back, it become completely annihilated in that ocean. There is no more existence for the form. When it is outside, it has a form. When it is inside, there is no form. So what happened is that when I took him out from his form, there is no more form existing. He moved. And that's why he was able to move Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam against all laws of physics that control this world, that anyone wants to move above the beyond the atmosphere, he will burn. He will be burned, but Prophet didn't. Because there is no more that pulling of gravity is pulling heavenly. That's why awliyaullah, because we came to that, awliyaullah, when they want to move, many stories about these issues. They want to move from one place to another. They are able to take their souls out of their body. As many people today, they relate their stories that they took their souls out of their body. Allah can put their body in their souls and they can move with the soul. That's why the speed of light, they can move and beyond speed of light. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Min al-Masjid al-Harami ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa," to the farthest mosque. The farthest mosque, and there is two meanings here. One is literal meaning, one is a spiritual meaning. The literal meaning is Masjid al-Aqsa, because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, most of the prophets were living in that area, which we know today as Al-Quds. And Sayyidina Musa, Sayyidina Isa, and all the other prophets, Sayyidina Ibrahim, Sayyidina Nuh, in that region. So Allah wants to bring Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Masjid al-Aqsa in order that before he go into Mi'raj, he wants him to pray with all prophets as imam and all prophets behind him. And this is an Islamic incident that it is in the Muslim history. The spiritual one, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was announcing what he saw of that caravan, that he's declaring that he came to Masjid al-Aqsa and he explained what he has seen there. Because today there is a controversy going on around the Muslim community and the non-Muslim community. They say that Masjid al-Aqsa doesn't belong to the Muslims. In any case, we will forget about that. We will continue on the spiritual issue and say that Masjid al-Aqsa means the farthest end. The farthest end of the human behavior. I'm moving my prophet from the animal behavior to heavenly behavior. The closest end to us, behavior to us, is the animal behavior. And as believers grow up, building up themselves, they become heavenly behavior. So I'm moving my prophet from Masjid al-Haram, from where there is no sin can be committed, from the animal life of this dunya, to the heavenly life of this, and at Masjid al-Aqsa, the farthest end mosque, and I'm taking him into that Mi'raj. And that's why when Sayyidina Musa asked Ya Rabbi, Qala Rabbi arini anzur ilayk, O Allah, let me see you. He said, Lan tarani, you cannot see me. Walakin anzur ila al-jabal, fa in istaqarra makanahu fa sawfa tarani. You cannot see me. How you are, Ya Musa, going to see me when you are still on earth? Muhammad can see me. That's later came. Because he is not on earth. He went up. And that's why Imam Nawawi said, refuting most of the scholar of his time, and today's scholar, Abdul Matwalli Sha'rawi, he mentioned that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the eyes of his head. Means in these two physical eyes. And lot of books of contemporary Muslim scholars be mentioned about that issue that no one can refute it today. They tried, but they were not able. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah brought him to his presence. Sayyidina Musa said, Rabbi, let me see you. He said, you cannot see me, but look at the mountain. وَلَكِنْ ذُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلْ فَإِنْ إِسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي. If that mountain will stay by itself there, you can see me at that moment. فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّ رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send his vision, send his blessings on that mountain, جَعَلَهُ دَكَّ, he completely make him as a dust powder. وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا, and Musa fainted. Allah said, Ya Musa, how you are going to see me? Look at that mountain. If you can see that mountain, you can see me now. When that mountain disappeared, you cannot see me. What is that mountain? That mountain is the self, the mountain of the ego, the bad desires, the bad ego. When we are carrying that bad ego with us, that bad desire, how we are going to be able to see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How we are going to be able to hear what Allah, with Allah's ears, with Allah's power? How we are going to see with Allah's vision? How we are going to strike with Allah's hands? How we are going to walk with Allah's walking? It's impossible. So that ego that Musa alayhi salam, and he is a highly prophet, Allah sent him to Khidr alayhi salam to study from him. Because Sayyidina Musa, the whole Quran is asking questions. Sayyidina Muhammad, not one question. Ibn Abbas said, he was one of the biggest that explained the Holy Quran, every verse of Holy Quran. He said, when Musa fainted, when he wake up, when فَلَمَّا أَفَاقْ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ يَا رَبِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ, I am asking forgiveness from you. What Allah showed him there? When Abbas related that he saw there 124,000 minus 313 messengers in sajda. Allah showing him, Ya Musa, look, these are my prophets, they are in sajda. They are prostrating for me, they never asked that question. Because I gave you, I made you to run away from Bani Israel, from Fir'aun, and take Bani Israel with you and gave you miracles. You thought that you can do something? Look, they are in prostration. And he saw 313 standing up, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they, he saw the first leading them was Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi wa sallam. So Allah called his prophet to his presence. What you want to describe? It's an ocean. We go in one story, 10 stories come on the other side. And you cannot finish. If describing the beautiful dimension that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't know how long time I have, but before I end, as long as the organizers, Dr. Zain Abidin, say finish, I stop. If he doesn't, I continue. Yeah. So what I can do? I'm standing here until he say to me finish. How long we have? More? So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam every morning used to drink a cup of milk with 7 dates. That was his breakfast. Not breakfast when he after Ishraq. After Ishraq, he take 1 spoon of honey with water and drink it. I'm not going to go to that explanation. Why? I jump to the other one. Breakfast means around 11 o'clock. His breakfast was. He take 1 spoon milk and 7 dates, 1 cup. And he said that the milk and dates protect you from sihr, from envy, from jealousy, and from poison. Prophet said that Muslims accepting, they drink milk and dates. But some today scholars, you know, this interface dialogue between Muslim and non-Muslim is very good because it promotes things that might open up issues that we never know. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that hadith was mentioned in a conference that was non-Muslim and Muslim scientists sitting there. And they said, why Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi wasallam, took milk and dates? And he said, they will stop you from, they will eliminate if you are from poison and from jealousy or magic or whatever. They took that milk and that date. They put it into a similar stomach, an artificial stomach, and they went into the process of digesting the food. And immediately, when that food was digested together, blended together, and began the digestion, similar of the stomach, it creates two elements. One element, a blue light. We call it in Arabic taif. Taif means a light. A blue light coming from the stomach, going like an X-ray machine, like a photocopy machine, how they go to this photocopy machine. It's bringing our scanning today. It's bringing a light up from stomach all the way to the head. A blue light. They found that this blue light was able to affect any kind of mental problems that has been done by, because they believe, some people believe in magic, some people believe in hasad, envy. So some people, they say that there is something there in the mind disturbance. So it relieved that disturbance of the mind completely. It will go through 40 days that it will eliminate whatever they have problem in their mind, depression or anything like that. And they found the other element that goes to the liver and push any poisonous element in the liver or minerals to the skin. And from the skin it will be thrown out. From that date and milk. How Prophet knew that 1400 years ago?
Sallallahu.
This is a new discovery. And I'm not going to go to many of these discoveries that they are mentioning about Prophet Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that one that Allah gave, you cannot find that in Moses alayhi salam. With all respect and love to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, Allah didn't give him that power to speak about science. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, Allah gave him power in his time, but he didn't give him a scientific predictions in the future as he gave Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah wanted his prophet for scientists in the end of the days. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ. We are going to show them our signs in the horizon. Allah saying in Holy Quran, we are going to explain to every unbelievers or every believer what Prophet has predicted, it's coming in the future. He said in the horizon. Means in the future. That's why Prophet never mentioned any scientific issue. He predicted things. He didn't explain it to Sahaba. Only he gave them discipline and Sharia. Because this is what they need at that time. But about scientific issue, he never. How he knew these things? What Allah gave to him. That's why Allah took him to Isra and Mi'raj, to his presence, where he said in the continuation of the surah, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى لِيُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. To show him from our signs. He is showing Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his big signs. In Surah Al-Najm, he described big signs. What's the big signs? Imam Nawawi said in the 7th century Hijri, or the 8th century Hijri. He said Allah showed Sayyidina Musa from his signs. Sayyidina Muhammad, he showed him from his big signs. According to Holy Quran, Surah Al-Najm. What he showed him? Imam Matwandi Sha'rawi said, I say today, I put a question mark to those who are not understanding what difference between big sign and ordinary sign in Isra and Mi'raj. Big sign means there is no above it anything. بِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا الْكُبْرَى. We'll show him from our biggest time. And that's why he said, وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَىٰ عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ عِنْدَهَا جَنَّةُ الْمَأْوَىٰ. He saw him نَزْلَةً أُخْرَىٰ when he was moving in another descent. He saw him there. Some ulama, they say, Jibril alayhi salam. He saw Jibril. If Jibril was with him, why he has to see him another time? He brought him up. Whatever. We cannot say up or left or right. He brought him. Why he has to see Jibril? That's why Imam Mutawalli Sha'rawi and Imam Nawawi said, no. He saw his Lord.
Allah.
With his eyes.
Allah.
That is where La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah. Like in Tahiyyat, what you say, Ashhadu an La ilaha illallah wa Ashhadu an. What is the meaning of Ashhadu? I bear witness. What? Yeah. They translated it. I bear witness, or I see. I bear witness on what? If you go to the court and they said you were witness on that issue, if you say no, they say we don't need you. If you say yes, they said okay, come and give your witness what you saw. How I am saying Ashhadu when I'm not seeing Ashhadu really? When Prophet ﷺ said Ashhadu, he saw what he is saying. He bear witness that La ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu, and bear witness that Muhammadun Rasulullah.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar. Nare risala.
Ya Rasulullah. So Prophet Allah gave him, he was able to see, and he uplifted his Sahaba to see, and that's why the example of that is Sayyidina Bilal and Sayyidina Umar. Sayyidina Bilal, when he was tortured, he was saying Ahad Ahad. He didn't say Wahid Wahid, Maqam al Oneness, the level of oneness. He was saying Maqam al Ahadiyya, there is two levels. There is Maqam al Wahdaniyya, there is Maqam al Ahadiyya. Wahdaniyya means everything that around you indicate that there is one creator. Maqam al Ahadiyya is the uniqueness of that creator. So he was just saying Ahad Ahad. Means he been uplifted from only seeing what is around him in real vision, seeing what is in front of him. That's why he was saying Ahad Ahad. Sayyidina Umar was able to see from Mecca to Medina when Sariya was in command and the enemy were coming from behind him. He was shouting from Mecca, from Medina to Sham, around 1500 miles away. He was able to see him with his bare, okay, say bare eyes,
yes,
with these eyes. Say, Ya Sariya, Ilzam il Jabal, be careful, take the Jabal, take the mountain behind you. How he saw him, and how Sariya heard him. This is what you call today, what they are trying today to say, there is telepathy, to communicate from far. 1400 years they were communicating from far, Sahaba.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
That's why Islam is not only a form, as we see, it's taste. If there is no taste, there's no sweetness. You see this cup of liquid, we don't know if it is sour or sweet until we taste it. So do you see the form? There is a liquid inside. What is it? We don't know. So Islam is not only to see, is also to taste. You have to taste the taste and the sweetness of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. I don't know if I continue or I stop. It's up to
5:30.
I don't have the time with me.
How many?
15 minutes. That's too much. I'm worried because I'd speak too much, my people Paul will be. In any case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Look in Surah Al-Shams. He said, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَخْشَاهَا. He said, the sun and its light. What you explain it? Ascender? Splendor. The sun and its splendor. And the moon that follows. Follows what? How it follows the sun? Follow the earth. It doesn't follow the sun. The moon goes around the earth. Always. You cannot change the course of the moon. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُنِيرٌ مُنِيب. In this one verse, and he said about Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he is سِرَاجٌ مُنِيرٌ, that he is illuminated moon, a lamp that is shining always. And the moon reflects, if we go physics, the moon reflects the light of the sun, nothing else. Spiritually, the sun is the source of energy of this light. Means the ocean of Qudra or ocean of knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in every moment, there is a knowledge coming and a creation coming up from His name, Al-Khaliq and Al-Alim and Al-Muqtadir, Al-Qadir. That one who reflects this light is like the moon who reflects the light of the sun. And that's why the moon always running around the earth. Means Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah made him the moon for humanity, reflecting the light of knowledge that he is receiving from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending to humanity, like the moon in respect to the sun and to the earth. And that's why he said, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا, the knowledge and its fountain, and the moon that it follows. It takes that knowledge and say talaha. Talaha, our Sheikh is Arab. Talaha has two meanings. Talaha here, literally meaning that it follows. And the other meaning, talawtul Quran, I recited the Quran. It's the same name, tala, tala. Tala means reciting. Tala means following. So why not Prophet is here saying that whatever he is receiving from that heavenly knowledge, he is giving it through tilawah, through recitation. And that is mean he is being described in that surah. That was shamsi wa duhaha wal qamari, and the moon that has recited what was in that sun, means the knowledge, the fountain of knowledge, is that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah has said to him, Ya Muhammad, when he reached his divine presence, he said to Jibreel, Ya Jibreel, come with me. He said, I cannot, because I will be burned. This is my limit. And Prophet went to where Allah wants him to reach. And Awliya Allah, they say that Allah has asked him, who are you? He didn't see himself there. They said, Ya Rabbi, there is no one here except you. Finish. That is the real maqam al-tawheed. That awliya Allah are running for it. How to get that? When we try to completely struggle against our ego. There was a Hindu that he used to make miracles. One of the Naqshbandi sheikhs, big sheikh, Sayyidina Khalid al-Baghdadi, of the Naqshbandi order, I think Sheikh Abdul Rashid knows that, he is in Damascus, buried in Damascus, and all the Naqshbandis that comes from that area are through him. Even Sheikh Ahmed Kuftaru today from Damascus, and even our branch, our tariqa, is from him. They told him that that Hindu is making miracles. He said, okay, I will visit him. So he went and visited that Hindu. That Hindu was waiting for him at the door. He said, I knew you are coming to me. How he knew? He didn't tell him I'm coming. He said, as soon as you decided, that telepathy, what you call, it came to me, that reflection of ideas. I knew that you are coming. I called for a Muslim woman to cook for you. Come please inside, I'm waiting for you. He went inside, and Sayyidina Khalid al-Baghdadi sitting on his knees, and that Hindu on the other side sitting on his knees, and the table between them, food. And he said, please eat, this is a Muslim food. And Sayyidina Khalid al-Baghdadi didn't speak one word. He looked at him, and he looked at his heart, and he said, give shahada, means become Muslim. That sincere, pious Hindu person, put his head down and was thinking, meditating, muraqabah. As he was explaining Shahab Rashid about muraqabah before, he made muraqabah for half an hour. And Sayyidina Khalid waiting. After half an hour, he raised his head. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Khalid said, why you waited half an hour to enter Islam? Why you delayed your Islam? He said, Ya Sayyidi, for all my life, I am an old person. All my life, I never did anything without consulting with myself. Everything I wanted to do, I consult myself. Whatever myself says to me, do, I do the opposite. I never agree to do anything that myself wants, because this will be trick of shaitan. So when you asked me to do that, I was thinking. And myself said, are you stupid? You have hundreds and thousands of followers. Everyone comes, you are curing them, you are doing miraculous power. You want to go the ladder from bottom to top? No way you accept what he's saying. Since my ego said that, I did the opposite. At that moment, Allah is merciful. Don't think Allah is not merciful. He's merciful for Muslim, non-Muslim, Jews, non-Jews, Christian, non-Christian, Hindu, Buddhist. Allah is merciful for everyone. Since that person was pious and not following shaitan, even though he was to his way, he's right, Allah gave him. But what he gave him from dunya, which is afania. It's going. That dunya is ending. But as soon as he gave shahada, because he was struggling all his life against his ego, Allah gave him the meaning of the verse. He dressed him with the meaning of the verse, وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Allah gave him, because Allah said, oh human being, I am giving you under your authority what is in heavens, in skies, in universe, and what is on earth. Use it for you. Try to take it. As soon as he said the shahada and he was struggling against his ego, Allah opened for him that powers. He became not only earthly power, he became having heavenly power. That is from one meeting with a sheikh, real sheikh, Sayyidina Khalid al-Baghdadi, meeting with one person, changing him immediately from non-Muslim to Muslim, And Allah dressing him with the barakah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that dress of authority on universe. These people, where are they? Where they are hiding? They cannot change what's going on around. We have to protest for them. They like us to protest. That's why Allah say, "Du'uni," means keep asking. Don't forget. Keep asking, I will give you. But when you ask one time, two time, and then you don't care, then there is nothing will be coming. Before I will end, I like to end it with this, inshallah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu ibn Adam yafna illa ajmu al-dhanab." That the whole body of a human being will disintegrate except the coccyx. The whole body will go except that coccyx, the end of the spinal cord, that small bone. 1400 years ago he said that. Ulama today, they took that from 100 different species, they took that coccyx and they said, why Prophet said that? We want to know. They went and through DNA tests, they went and they found that this coccyx, after the person die and he became bones and many of his bones goes, they go to these graves and they take these coccyx, they find it and they examine it, they find it's life. There is life and cells in it running. Yeah. They take it, they cremate it under very high temperature. And they examine and they found that still these cells are living. They took it and under high pressure they crush it into dust. And they found still these cells are living. How Prophet knew 1400 years ago? I leave you with that to think about. And how Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah gave him of that vision. Who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What Allah has said about him? He mentioned him in Holy Quran by Yasin. Look, if you look Yasin, Taha, Ya Ayyuhal Muzammil, he comes always, his name comes before Quran. Yasin wal Quran al Hakim. Quran comes after. Taha, Ma anzalna alayka al Quran, comes after. Quran comes after. Ya Ayyuhal Muzammil, kum al layla illa qalila, nisfahu aw anqus minhu qalila, aw rattil, aw zid alayhi, wa rattil al Quran, come after his name. And Allah said in Surah Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman, Allam al-Quran, Khalaq al-Insan. Allah taught Quran, created creation. To whom he taught Quran then? Who was that one that received the Quran before creation was created? That is the Yasin. And I have 6 minutes. According to this. I'm leaving this, that one. If you take the first letter in Holy Quran is what? In Al-Fatiha is Alif. Alif. The first letter, even Ba is not the first, it's because Ismullah. Bi Ismillah we are. That is different. So first letter, Alhamdu, Al-Alif. And the first letter of Allah is Alif. Is that? The first letter in alphabet, Arabic alphabet, is Alif. The last letter of the Arabic alphabet is Ya. The first letter of Prophet's name is Ya. Yasin. So means every ilm is being between the Alif and the Ya. The whole Arabic The whole word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Holy Quran, the words goes between the alif and the ya. Means every knowledge goes between the alif, the first letter of Allah or Alhamdu, and the first letter of Prophet name Yasin. Think about it, and may Allah forgive us and forgive everyone. And thank you very much for this allowing me to give presentation, and I ask forgiveness from everyone here, and especially from the speakers, and especially Sheikh Nuruddin Turki. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.